death review must include all deaths in which the death was caused by or associated with a healthcare intervention. The chair may wish to highlight specific cases for presentation or more detailed discussion. A nominated clinician can review all deaths prior to the meeting and, in conjunction with the chair, decide which cases will benefit from detailed presentation and discussion. Some deaths must be reported to external bodies such as the coroner, SCDUA, CASM, the Perinatal Mortality Committee. The fact that an external report has occurred should not be a reason for dispensing with local review. When presenting information about death or adverse events, the focus should be placed on identifying the issues related to any processes or systems of care that contributed to the death. The information should be de-identified. If clinicians from outside the department played a significant role in the patient's care, they should be invited to attend. Primary questions to consider for each case are: what happened? Was there a breach of a standard of care or an error? And if there was, why did it happen? And what can be done to prevent a recurrence? The healthcare facility has a legislative responsibility to report SAC1 deaths through the Incident Information Management System, RiskMan, and by means of a reportable incident brief to the Department of Health. These are deaths associated with healthcare intervention in which it is thought that an error or breach of an accepted standard of care or a system's failure contributed to the cause of death. A root cause analysis should be conducted into all SAC1 deaths, and they are usually identified close to the time of death, entered into RiskMan, and an RCA initiated by the Clinical Governance Unit. Typically, an RCA will be underway by the time the case is being considered at an M&M review meeting, and discussion of the case should be delayed until the next meeting after the findings of the RCA are known. The death should stay on the agenda until the meeting has had the opportunity to review the outcome and recommendations of the RCA. In the event that a death which has not been previously identified as a SAC1 is reviewed and the meeting concludes that it satisfies the criteria for a SAC1, the death should be entered into RiskMan and the quality and risk team should be notified as soon as possible. In some cases, the review of the patient's care and management might identify care that is delivered by another team or service that is seen to have affected the patient's outcome. And in this case, the M&M review meeting chair should write to that particular department's head of department informing them of concern and suggest that they also review the care provided. In each M&M review, for each death, while team members consider the circumstances of the death itself, they should also include a review of the management of the patient's last days of life. Questions to be addressed include: was there an opportunity to commence end-of-life discussions earlier with the patient? Did the patient have a clinical review call or rapid response in the 24 hours prior to dying? Could the treating team have identified that the patient was at risk of dying during the episode of care, despite treatment? And if appropriate, was there an opportunity for the treating team to commence earlier end-of-life management planning that included identifying the patient's wishes? When reviewing these cases, a finding of diagnostic error may be made. Diagnostic error refers to a diagnosis that is missed, incorrect or delayed, and detected by subsequent definitive information. The absence of an accurate diagnosis can lead to delays in initiating optimal treatment and subsequently increased length of stay and poorer patient outcomes. The opportunity to discuss diagnostic error in the M&M meeting provides an important aspect of learning and developing as a team to prevent the same mistakes from recurring in the future. A cognitive autopsy is a self-reflection exercise that provides meaningful and realistic feedback following the recognition of diagnostic error. This self-reflection process encourages reflective learning, the development of insight, and a change in clinical cognition that reduces the likelihood of the error being repeated. Each case reviewed at the M&M meeting should be considered and reported using the standardized reporting form. Meeting minutes should be compiled after each meeting, which identify cases discussed, identified either by MRN or by initials and date of death, and the actions that must be taken as a result of the review. If there are no recommendations for action, this should be recorded and all action items should be placed on the agenda for the next meeting. Minutes from the M&M committee meeting should be sent to the quality and risk manager to be tabled at the patient care review committee, which meets every quarter. Useful trigger questions to consider when discussing individual cases include the following. Was there a delay in diagnosis or assessment? Was there an issue with misdiagnosis? Was there a delay in initiating treatment or recognizing deterioration? Was there deterioration in the patient that was recognized and responded to in a timely manner? Were there communication issues or incorrect or misinterpretation of information? Did the care or management deviate from policy or best practice guidelines? Was there a complication due to the treatment or a procedure or operation? Was there a medication error? Was there a misuse or malfunction of equipment? Was there a delay in accessing appropriate resources or assistance to treat the patient? Were the appropriately skilled staff available? Was open disclosure conducted after the event? These trigger questions are provided in table form as an appendix to the publication Guidelines for Conducting Morbidity and Mortality Meetings. In New South Wales, M&M review meetings generally have no special legal privilege. Although the Health Administration Act allows the Minister to nominate approved quality assurance committees, which attract qualified privilege, approval is rarely sought or granted for individual departmental M&M review committees. Therefore, the minutes of the meeting should be written from the assumption that they could potentially become public documents. And that means writing the minutes in a style that avoids statements of blame and concentrating on the actions that are arising from the deliberations. Qualified privilege provisions vary on a state-by-state basis. I hope this information will be of assistance to you in planning and conducting your M&M meetings. For more detail, please refer to the previously mentioned guide, Guidelines for Conducting and Reporting Mortality and Morbidity Meetings, which is a publication of St Vincent's Health Australia. Useful information is also included on the website in New South Wales for the Clinical Excellence Commission.